regreso para la esquina.
I try to address issues which I think are central in a chinuch setup where children are not having their normal structure. It's not that I grew up in America, that you hear even by my voice, and I try to speak out of what I saw and what I see and what I think could be. So that means that I can't know whether I will address things the way or the issues you would want to discuss. So I will try to say my things, which I a little bit ask around whether they make sense, and people said they make sense, so I'll try to address them. Afterwards, also you can ask questions. The asking questions that has a few knowing to that. I don't know all the answers. First. Second, I may think about the question. I don't have to answer immediately. Yeah, I may think about that. And third, I may answer. And once in a while, the answer of the question will not be convenient for the person, but I will answer. Okay, so that's a three question. So that is what you are going into the risk when you ask a question. Could be I say I don't know, or I have to think, but also it could be I answer, and I will answer what I think is true. Yeah? So that's the heskem. Whenever someone wants to leave, please do not think you will be pergea in me when you want to leave. You can leave whenever you want. Because this is no inyan that you should stay and want to leave, that doesn't do anything. And so it's a more of a, I want to have a trialis, I don't want to have a speech. Okay? That's the point. So, first, I want to concentrate on one thing, which is, I think, Rabbi Kassassin already said a word which is basic to what's your concept of this free time is. He used the word fun. That's right. The way I heard from the back, I think that was the word you used. You have to have a fun environment. So, I want to contemplate together what is the home. Is the home a place of fun? Of excitement, or is the home another place? So I see in my involvement with people that people make a major mistake, according to my opinion. They try to make the home in a way fun or exciting, that the home should be able to measure up with the excitement and fun which a child has outside of the home, in order to protect him. You want to protect the child, and you want to make the child a very exciting or fun environment at home, in order that the child shouldn't feel the necessity to go out and have fun or excitement in places you don't want him to be. This concept is problematic, according to my opinion. Because home is not an environment of excitement and fun. Home has an entirely different flavor to it. A home is a place of menuche, is a place of a center, of a menuche, a center. And then the children or all the members of the family are revolving around the center. So a home is a calm place. When we want to give the child the possibility that it shouldn't go after all the excitement outside, it's not through that you give more excitement at home. Because you will never be able to measure up with that hype, which is going on the street. That can't be. And when you will be able to measure up with that, you need treatment. Yeah, you are sick. You can't do that. It's not built like this. Because the outside world has a diverse excitements and influences going on, which you can't measure up with that. That is a running after the tide, you know. And you can't do that. What you have to do is you have to make clear that the home is a calm, warm, and welcoming environment. That's what you have. That's what you have at home. And then, this is another quality. And our guarding the child, that it shouldn't go out, is not through that we give the same ingredients that are going on outside, only in a Hemische or in a Haredi or in a home way. We are giving another quality, which we have to educate the child, that the child should feel that this is the quality which the child wants. And then the child is able to connect to home and not going after all the excitement. But the excitement is there. We'll speak about that. The excitement, all the things are going on. But the home is not a place of excitement. It is doime to... I grew up with that. I say that always. I grew up with that. LPs. There are people over here, according to the color of the beard, which still know what that was. You know, that is a thing which makes music, and you put it on a LP player, and then you have a needle and put it on it, and then something comes out there, you know, out of the loudspeaker. I grew up with, my father had a huge collection of that. I think I once tried to count it. I think it was more than 4,000. So I was able to listen to classical music non-stop, 365 days a year, without repetition, you know. So that was a collection we had at home. And I was young, and I looked a little bit around, and I found one LP which the hole in the middle was drilled off center. That was a mistake. So of course, when you are young and you like to do all different kind of things which are forbidden, that's what I like to do. So I put this LP on the LP player. It was off center, and I tried to put the needle on it, and it didn't go. It didn't sound anything. It made no music at all. So I learned from that an LP makes sound only when there is one point which doesn't move. Yeah? The center can't move. When everything moves, then there's no music. When music is only there when it moves. That's right. When there is life, there's things are moving. Only then is music. But it's only there when there is one point which is not moving. That it's a center of the home. The home is exactly such an LP. The center of the home is calm. That's the mother, that's the father. That is the core point of the home. Is not moving, not running after anything. It's a calm place. And then things are sounding right at home. Otherwise, there's no music going on, and there is one big balagan, you know. And then you will not be able to educate your children. That has a deep ramification for us. We want to give over value to our children. We want to give over value. Value, and you'll see another thing, let's say another, that's also value, but let's say we want to give over value. You can give over value only in a calm environment. In a moving environment, there are no values going over. When the environment is calm, you can give over a value. We are holding this higher than that. We are holding from this more than that. That has to be a calm environment. That can't be rash. That can't be the whole time there is noise going on and things like this. The values won't go over. Even more than this. Let's say you want to instill in your children and now let's put that word, even though the word is not exactly the right thing, I think, but you want to instill in your children an excitement, let's say that like this, an excitement for Yiddishkeit or for learning. That was by me very much the case I wanted that my children should have avas teure. Those are big words. I don't know how to say it. But they should be excited over learning. So I had a big problem. My children never saw me learning. Never, ever. It was not these nice stories about the father which sits in the living room and sings the Gemara, and the child wakes up in the middle of the night. When my children woke up in the middle of the night, they met me sleeping, you know, not learning next in the living room. It wasn't the case. What shall I do? My children didn't see me. But I wanted that my children should love learning. Huh? And I understand myself that I am in charge. They should be excited about learning. So how do you do that? So now, this is not shayach, according to my opinion, is not shayach when the whole place of the home is one big excitement about all different kind of things. Why should the child find that learning is more exciting than the other things? That's even once in a while harmful. I don't know what you would say to the following chinuch situation. You have a child which wants to go to a bar mitzvah party. So I know over here in Lawrence, bar mitzvah parties, those are once in a while very exciting things. Yeah, that means you having a music and you have someone making a show with tricks, and you have, there are people which pour out things by a bar mitzvah party. I do not know really why, what has that to do with bar mitzvah exactly, but that's the way you do it. And your son wants to go there. It's a friend. And then you want to educate your son that he should love learning more than excitement of a bar mitzvah party. And then you'll tell your son, no, look, learning is much more exciting than a bar mitzvah party. Instead of going there, you'll come tonight with me to the Beis Medrash and learn. That's the most silly thing you can do. That's the most idiotic thing you can do. You will make your son hate learning. That's right? You can't do that. So be careful. When your home is a home of excitement, and everything is going on exciting, and there are stimuli going on at your home, and then you want that Torah should be exciting. The Torah will drown in all the excitements which are going on. Huh? So first of all, when the home isn't a calm place, you can't give over that thing. It's not shayach. It's not shayach. Because the excitement of Torah has to be distinguished on the background of something which is not exciting, but has a worth. Not boring. Yeah? It's good. It's fine. But it's not hype going on at home. And then you say, Torah is exciting. So what did I do? I wasn't sitting and learning at home. I didn't do that. But I had my chidushim. I think Rabbi Katzstein remembers that, since we were good friends, that I have all different kind of crazy Einfall, you call that, yeah? Which I think about coming to things, and then when I go to down, for example, the nets, I go down with the nets, then the people from the nets, they know they have to avoid me once in a while, because I will, before 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll tell them the Chiddush, you know? They are not ready for that. Before 6 o'clock, you just wake up, you know? You're not now in tune for hearing some Chiddushim. So, but this, I am excited about that. I'm excited about a thought process. I'm excited about something which I thought which is new for me. So I call. I don't know whether Rav Moshe once called. I called you also once in a while. I called when it was too late by night. Then I called Palo Alto. It's had a good friend there, Menachem Spiro. I called him. You know, there's a lot of hours behind me. So this pain is the middle of the day. I can't call him. Or I called another friend. I called another person. It depends which time of day. But I had to get rid of that. And my children saw that. My children saw the father is not sitting next to a sefer. But by him, the excitement about a chidush is more. He is more excited on the phone than begging for a person to pay him back the loan. Yeah? That would be more important, more exciting, you know. I have a Yiddish, okay? The loan which I have to ask the guy, that has still time, but I am excited about the learning. That instilled Avas Torah by my children. But I came because the home was basically calm. The home wasn't a place which is a constant rash going on. No. Huh? So this is a very essential part in our chinuch, which we are about to lose. We have to contemplate how we can do that. Because by us, we are very much into this running after that we have to provide for the children all the things which they feel excited outside. We also have to provide them at home with the argument, better that the child should have it at home than it should have it outside of home. That a lot of parents say that. This is not so simple. I'm not against it, I'm not bad it, but you have to know what you pay for. Yeah, this is not so simple. You can't just do everything which goes outside, you do it at home, because you lose the core point of a home, which the core point of a home is menuche. That's what the bayis means. That's what the bayis means, menuche. You have a place to be calm. There you are. Kan nimtso kan hoyo. That's it. And it makes sense, it is good. It has depth to it. You are connected to a place which is calm. So that's the first step. We have to come to terms that excitement at home, that is not the core point at all. Okay? So that is the first thing which we have to think about when we are having 2 months of free time, or whatever it is, how you deal with that, of the children. Yeah? The children, we speak now about the other thing, they go to camps and they go out of home, and we'll speak about that now, but the point, I think, there's no reality like this in America, that you finish school and the day after finishing school they just go to the camp. It takes them a week, they're a little bit home, and when they come home they also stay home a little bit. It's not immediately they go home. You have the children around. There are more around in this vacation times at home too than they are throughout the year. So you have to understand, a home is a calm place, and you have to try to find ways how to do that, because that is the guarding of your children. When they understand that being connected at home and feeling good in this rooted place, that is something which is shielding them off a lot more than this artificial thinking that what is outside you also have at home. Yeah, it's much more. Okay, that's the first point. Clear? So that's what I thought is a very important thing once to say, that we have the things clear. What is a home about? What are we building over here? The second is depending directly on the camps. Which, look, I do not manage a camp. I never was in one. I don't know what's going on there. But I know that with the time, camps became a place of competitions between camps. That means everyone has to present something more exciting or more special in order people or children should come to them. So that is like it builds up one on the other, not because of objective needs, only because of reasons to attract people. I think that is not only most probably true. When it is not true, then I will be very much surprised. But most probably that is true, yeah? That you need to provide something, and you need to attract people. And how do you attract children? With childish things, you know? You can't attract children that by us we will work on Rikus HaMachshove, or by us we will work on Menuchas HaNefesh and on Tfile, you know? Your camp will be empty. There will no one come, you know? Not one person will show up for that. But when you say we are about, you know, trips and beers and ich weiß was, ich habe gesagt, ich schreibe die Mjönis, meine die Mjönis are very poor, you know, gliding, they do that too. I don't know, sugar is in Zeda. Okay, so however you do, you put them into danger, you don't put them in danger, but that's what you do, then you feel you will have children sign up for your camp. Now, this is an extremely problematic thing. So that's now not because of calm or not calm. There's another thing there, which is much more subtle, but it is a central thing in Yiddishkeit, a central thing which we are about to lose. The point is like this. The central point in Yiddishkeit is passion. That's the central point. We have to be passionate about something. I think personally, this was mischadish to me, that the pshat in the Mesidas Yeshorim, when he says, Ulamatzor Shiosim Mabotoi Umegamosoi, Bechol Asher Uom El Kolem Echayov, that's the first sentence in the Mesidas Yeshorim. I think that far you reach, you know. The Soy, the Hasidus first, the way that Mima Hushis Barvi, Zamis is Lodom Achagos of Elomoi, Ulamatzor Shiosim Mabotoi Umegamosoi, Bechol Asher Uom El Kolem Echayov. So normally, the way you think or the way you translate into English, I didn't look up the translation. Most probably, you translate, what is your overall goal? Or what do you aim for? No, I think the real translation has to be, you have to have a passion. That is mabotoi umegamosoi. Megamosoi is a passion. When you say in Hebrew, the stock market is bimegamat ola. So the stock market doesn't have a goal to reach somewhere, but it has an inner energy to grow. Yeah? It is an inner energy. Megamoso means there's an inner energy going on. I would call that passion. And now there is a thing which is disastrous. People get confused between excitement and passion. They think excitement and passion are the same. And there is nothing further from that they are the same. They are 180 degrees opposite. Excitement is entirely a different thing than passion. Because passion is an inner energy which pushes you. Excitement is something you import. It's an imported thing. Yeah? You import that. You are excited because of the snapling. You're excited because of the surfing. You're excited because of something outside. You're excited for something which comes from outside towards you. A passion is something which you are passionate from inside. And we are making this mistake that we are putting children into an environment which excitement is the thing which is written in big letters. Excitement. Kilo, that is the thing which has to be. The way you use the nicer word, I don't know how to say fun. Fun is like a little bit of excitement, yeah? Yeah? But it is fun or excitement is that this urge for fun and excitement overrides passion. And you can't develop passion. I remember that years ago when I had friends being with Rav Katzenstein in Beryankov, that was 40 years ago, something like this, the Americans had a big plus above the Israeli bochim, a big plus, because they came to yeshiva with a passion. The passion was not toisvis, but it was the element of passion was ingrained in them, and not because of school. I don't know whether you have children which are passionate about school. I think a child which is passionate about school, he is the laughter of the class. That's right. That is the one which everyone hates, you know. Because, well, they're passionate about school, they don't have anything to do, you know. That's not the point. So normally that doesn't show up in things you are obligated to do. A passion is not emerging in your obligations. A passion is emerging where you have a freedom and you can do a thing, you know. The one is passionate about swimming, and the other is passionate about the thing. And then the camps at that time were much more normal activities which you were not able to pursue throughout the year you did then. It was swimming, it was football, it was all these normal activities you do, and they are not imported from outside. They are your own activity. You let yourself go, you let yourself out, and you find something. I know someone which became passionate about sailing. Yeah. Sailing is a thing. When you know how to sail, I don't know, but I know you have to keep strong. Otherwise, the thing is going the wrong direction, and you will not reach anywhere. You have to keep strong, and you have to evaluate the wind. And it is a whole thing to do. It is a whole activity to do. And he became passionate about that. Yeah? And this is an essential part of a growth of a person. He has to have this dimension within him. Because by a child, you can't wait that a thing should always be in the right form from the beginning. I will show that to you soon. But children will not be passionate about learning immediately. But they will be passionate about something. And then you can make that learning or positive activity can be coupled with that, and then it will go, it will create something, it will even create a mission for life. But you have to have passion, and today these camps, they are in a danger that the opportunity is there. And I understand now, I do understand that you have it is a question of attracting people. And when you say the children over here will be passionate about sailing, no. Again, you have no one. Yeah? No, I want them to have an excitement. What are you doing? Once in a while, I think people are more or less, it is, okay, I don't want to go into all the problems, but a lot of problems I see people have in interaction with other people, they wait that the other one should excite them. Yeah? I once met couples even like this, that he waited she should excite him, and she waited that he should excite him. No, I'm not a clown at home. I don't have to excite you. I don't have to do that. It's not about excitement. It's about that I am passionate about connecting, or I'm passionate about something. It's not a question of excitement, but it makes an avira, it makes an ambiance that what is important is excitement. And it is a lethal thing when we make the confusion between excitement and passion. And we think passion and excitement is the same thing. Then we lost. We lost the Mesilas Yeshorim. We lost our avoda. We lost our work altogether. Because a child has to be passionate. For example, I tell you myself, when I was younger, I was passionate about music. I wanted to be a conductor, not because a conductor has also a frak, you know, this I didn't know at the time, but I wanted to be a conductor, that I wanted, because that fascinated me, that you can see things with minor differences, you can see things in an entirely different way. And you know how to conduct. That's the way a conductor does. You know, he hears the orchestra, and then he understands that when this one is a little bit louder and this one comes in a little bit later, then the whole thing changes. That's what the conductor does. And that was very fascinating for me. I wanted to be that. So, Baruch Hashem, I didn't become a conductor. But it was a passion. I was passionate. I was passionate about music, about listening, about who plays, and what do they play, and how do they do it. I was passionate about that. I was very much into that, you know. So now, later on in my life, I was forced, not according to what I want so much, I was forced into that I had to care for other people. It is not 100% my nature to do that. I have a nature which I want to be alone. Yeah, I am very much enjoying being alone. But I was forced to do that for other people. And now, this passion of seeing things in a different way helped me to do that with people. Huh? That I was, now I see a person and he comes to me with a problem or whatever it is, and I try to see his life exactly like music. And like a slight difference, look a little bit different and change a little bit here and do a little bit there and make here, and then the whole thing will change. That's exactly the same thing I am passionate about. So the passion as a youngster was not in helping people. The passion was not in thinking about Torah. The passion was in something very awkward, in being a conductor and music. So I was hostile from them. Yeah? What you have from that. But it is an important thing. But you have to be passionate. You don't have to be excited about that. I was excited about being a conductor because I didn't have an orchestra in front of me. I couldn't be excited. But I had an inner, like a feeling, I want to do that. This is the thing I want to do. And I was interested in it. And I looked after that. But that is a passion which afterwards helps a person to develop. And we have to give that back to our children. Yeah? And a lot of children, they are losing out because they are excited, and then they come, I see it today, they come afterwards to yeshivas and they have children which have no passion left. And they're all excited about things, and then they look for excitement in Toysmas. And believe me, when you were excited about a roller coaster or about bungee jumping, and you try to make bungee jumping with a Toysmas, I tried it. It doesn't go. It's only 20 centimeter. It doesn't go. I tried. Shach! Didn't go. I couldn't. It didn't do anything. So a Toysmas will not give you the excitement of bungee jumping. But bungee jumping is a very silly excitement. It's a very idiotic thing. Yeah? You think you go to die, and in the end you don't die. Ah. So when you didn't experience that, then you are not human. No, you are absolutely human without that too. That's excitement, which is absolutely silly. Yeah? It's not only me. Rabbi Soel says, a person which wants to work on himself, he is careful that he shouldn't expose himself to koichas hanefesh, which are too much exciting, because he will not be able to shut down these koichas. That's what he says. So when you once in your life were bungee jumping, this will make something to you that it's very difficult to calm that down, because you have an urge for such a adrenaline when you want. That's Rabbi Soel. So a person which cares for himself, he is careful not to go into that. That's Rabbi Soel. So I once had a dispute with a community in Europe, which they once a year were hiring the Luna Park for the Haredi community. Sounds like a glorious idea. And I told them, it's a horrendous idea. No, because as a Haredi person, you have to be able to live. That was there, the community was able to do that. But as a Haredi person, you have to be able to live without urge for a Luna Park. You'll be happy. I was never in a Luna Park. And when you will pay me, I don't go on a roller coaster. When you'll pay me, I don't go for that. Yeah? And bungee jumping for sure not, because my kippah will fall off, you know. It doesn't go. So no, for sure not. I will not do that for payment. Not only I don't pay them. When you will pay me, I don't do it. No! I'm absolutely human, and I'm absolutely happy without this craze. I don't need that. But when you have it, when you have it in your system, then you have an urge for that. Then you have an urge for that, and there is no passion. It's an urge for a fulfillment of an excitement which you had once, and that rides over the point of passion. And then the core point of avodah is missing, because that's what Mesillas Yesharim says. Ulamatzor shiosi mabotoi umegamosoi. You have to reveal a passion within you. You have to do that. And that's the beginning of your avodas Hashem. That's the beginning. And when you don't do that, then you are not shaykh to the whole Mesillas Yesharim. The whole Mesillas Yesharim is not shaykh to a person. It doesn't belong to him. Because you need to be able to reveal that. And excitement is a thing which goes into the other direction. I think those two points, according to my opinion, those two points, they are central. They are central to our understanding what is wanted from our education. I do know, so I very much want, I want to apologize to the Tzibo. I have absolutely no urge and no, I don't want before that I should be sounding in any way aggressive or better than the people, you know. That's not the point. I only wanted to clarify the nekudas which are there. And I know that those are very delicate and very difficult nekudas over here in this environment to make something for it. I understand that. I do understand. But because it's difficult, we can't forget about them. Yeah? It's always good that you know, because you know that. Because you have to know in Kirchas HaNefesh, or in your Kirchas HaNefesh, I don't know how to say that in English, something like this. A new English word, Kirchas HaNefesh. So in the Kirchas HaNefesh, the point of that is not that you have to have them in full extension. That's not right. That's wrong. You have to have the direction. You have to have a little bit of it. You have to have the inclination towards that. That's enough. Yeah? You do not have, when you want to have Menuchas HaNefesh, you don't have to have Menuchas HaNefesh entirely. But you have to have a way that you bend towards it. When I now speak about that you should be calm and should be a place of menucha, your home, it's not that now my home, okay, let's throw out everything, you know, and we get rid of everything and we have a very calm home. You just will fall asleep because you are not used to that. You have to bend the home towards that. This bending the home towards that, that is the job. And you bend your involvement with the children into a direction that you are able, that you enable them, they should reveal a passion. You give them the opportunity, they should do something by themselves. Is it artwork? Is it sports? Is it something they do with themselves and they reveal? I am passionate about that. Don't be particular about any frum or any religious content by a small child. Don't be particular about that. To have a passion is much more important than how it manifests itself. Yeah? It's much more important. Yeah? Someone has a passion. I remember my son, my son, he had a passion for Kugelach. You know what that is? You have to have a hand of the Mediterranean hand, you know, to chop this Kugelach. I can't do it. I tried, it didn't go. But were able to do it, and he did it thousands and thousands and thousands of times, you know. Nochamol. I wanted that he should learn Mishnayos. He was in the age of learning Mishnayos, and he should learn Mishnayos. Shmulik, my second son, you know, he has an excellent memory. He has a very clean head and a very straight head, and I knew that. And he had only hundreds in his tests, and he never went to a Mishnayos test. Never, never, ever. What did he do? There was two things. We had a monochrome. I was working for computers, so we had the green ones, you know, they have only one color on the screen, and there was one Pac-Man. There was a, you remember that one, you know? So we had that game, and there were Kugelach. And he was sitting next to the computer. I thought that he'll jump into the computer. I really thought about that. Yeah? It was insane. The whole time was there. Wait. And Kugelach. So what did I do? I didn't disturb him. I didn't disturb him. I let him do that. Because I thought, I never saw a 20-year-old making Kugelach. I never saw a 20-year-old being glued to the Pac-Man. So that is the difference between a computer today and a computer at that time. Because computer games today, they are a bottomless thing. And my child would go for computer games today, it could very much be that they would tell him no. By no means, because it's a bottomless thing. Yeah? There are people which are 60. I once went into a store and saw a guy which I thought he's crazy. He was standing and he didn't know what he does. Then I said, that's a computer game.
Ich bin sugar, you know. Du kannst sein 60, 70, 80, 90. And I think you go to the kever with the computer game, you know. That's what you do. It's insane. So this I wouldn't let, you know. Because that's a thing which has no end. But Pac-Man, that's a thing which you don't do when you are 20 or 25 the whole day. No one does that, yeah? So I let him do that. And he learned to be passionate about Chazore. Huh? A masmit. Because in order to excel in Kugalach, you have to do it 10,000 times. Now, you want that your son should learn a Toisvus 10,000 times. He will not do it. Because he's too young. But he has the passion of doing a thing over and over and excel. Yeah? That's his own work. And afterwards, later on in life, that came to him that he was hustling over the Toisvus 100 times. Yeah? But that he learned by the Kugelach. So that's the passion. But it was something which came from him. He himself wanted to do that. It wasn't an excitement that he imported it. He worked on it. He did it. He tried it out. He was passionate about a shtus. It's a shtus, the whole thing, you know. You don't want to be a world's expert in Kugelach. And the world's expert in Pac-Man, you know, there's no point to it. But he was passionate about that. And this passion afterwards was going together with the learning, and he is now a masmid in learning. But he learned Asmoda, not in the Toisvus, he learned it Asmoda in being, having a free time, having a free possibility to explore things he wants, and being connected to them and doing them. And that's the way a passion emerges. So that's what free time is, a very big opportunity to give that to the children. Very big. Yeah? A very big opportunity. So that we have to think these two things. That there is a point of excitement and passion, and there's a point of calmness at home, which has to kick in. Home is a calm place. Home is not an exciting place. It's not a place full with rash. Yeah, with the noise. It's not a place full with noise. These two things I want to tell you. I think they are central for our education, and they are central for our thought, what we think about the children. How to do that practically? It's not that you have now to bend over the whole thing. It's only that you are going into that direction. You are bending in that direction, and you are aware that there is a sugya like this, and try to do something about that. That's enough. That's what you have to do. But you have to be erlich. You have to be aware about the danger and about the necessity of those two things. That's what I wanted to tell you. Okay? So, at calm, what I wrote. I hope this was accurate for you. Again, I am not American, and I was never in a camp, and my children were on them 2 months home, and we didn't have a camp. They were only home. And my wife told them in the beginning of the vacation, I am not your entertainer. You have to entertain yourself. And then that was end of discussion. And they were bored and boredom. And then they had to do something. They weren't able to be bored 2 months in a row. They had to do something. And they did something. So one did this, and one did that, you know, going with a bike, and going, all different kinds of things which are not organized. There were no camps. And my children were 2 months home, because they were in the Chinuch Atzmoy school. There was not a cheder. They didn't have only Tisha B'Av till Rosh Chodesh Elul. They had 2 months. So what shall I do? Also the boys and also the girls were all home, and I have 10 children, so you can imagine it was a whole camp at home like this, you know. But we were not the entertainer of the children. They did themselves. So that was an important thing by us at home. I think it's very important. I think that was an important message for us. That's what I think. So whenever you have a question, you can ask whatever you want. Yeah? Was he?
I'm sorry, maybe I'm misunderstanding the word calm. We have 10 kids at home for vacation for 2 months. How does that translate to calm?
Calm doesn't mean calm doesn't mean acoustically calm. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, There is something going on at home. But calm means that you are not, you as parents are there for them in a predictable way. It's predictable. Yeah? It's not excitement always has something unpredictable there. By my wife, it's my own thing, but by my wife, my children say, when Ima is not or in the kitchen or is next to the laundry, then something is wrong at home, you know? Because this is this predictability. It's predictable. You know what's going on at home. That's called calm. Yeah? You know what's going on. There could be a lot of action going home because at home because there are 10 children there and they interact. But it's predictable. It's not, excitement means that it's unpredictable. Wow! We do something else. No, it's predictable. That's why I think what calm means, yeah, at all. Okay? Yeah, was he?
General question. The definition of chutzpah, does it change?
Of?
Chutzpah. That children have. I was once told you can go by the way, when you were brought up, what was chutzpah to your parents? Is that the rule of thumb, or is there another definition?
You were told that when you...
What your parents have said was chutzpah. What would it have been when you were a child? Chutzpah to your parents, so you can assume it's chutzpah as well, as a general rule. Is that true, or is there another definition?
Look, I think there is one of the Rishonim. I didn't look it up, but I think one of the Rishonim says about Yuda. It says, Gur Aryeh Yehudo. So Gur is a small Aryeh, and the Aryeh is a big Aryeh. Yeah? So what does that mean? It says, the Gur is catching the tail of the mother. But through that he catches the tail of the mother, in the end he'll be an Aryeh. So a child, when he's chutzpah to the parents, you have to be very careful when to label that as a chutzpah and when to label that as a growth factor. I give you a dugma of my own thing. I don't know whether you know the statistical question when this game, we have three doors and behind two doors there is a goat. Behind one, it is an expensive car. You can say, I don't know what in Lawrence over here goes, you know. Let's say from Lamborghini and upwards, you know, okay, that's good. Okay, or the Bugatti and upwards, or whatever you want. This behind one door is an expensive car, and goats are behind two doors. And I know where it is, you don't know. And you choose one door. And then they say, okay, 1 minute. You choose that door. One of the other doors, for sure, there's a goose behind, you know? So I open the door with that, and you see that is. Now, what is better? You change, or you stay the same, or it makes no difference? Yeah? That's the question. It's a ksuvis. So there were people which they were very much disputing, but the truth is that it is better to change. Even though it sounds, it makes no sense, but you can't count it out, it's better to change. So I had a son, Yitzchok, my good son Yitzchok. I told him, my good son Yitzchok, we'll make the experiment. We had a set of cards, I don't know why, but set of red and black, whether these cards, we had that at home. So let's do it. We'll make 10 or 20 times. I have three, one is red and one is black, and two are black, and you will go with a attitude that you are changing, and will count out how many times you'll have the red one, you know. So he did it like this. Okay, that one is the black, and then he changed, and then it really came out that there were more times he got the red than he got the black. Very interesting. And then I finished that, and then I told to my son, and now my son, let's do it the other way around, that you don't change. And let's do it. 20 times I was standing with the cards like this, and my son looks at me and says, Abba, you got the prize for mathematician, that's right? Yes. The Europeans are really silly, and as he said, you get the prize for mathematician, why do you have to make another time? I already made the other try, because when I would not change, I would only have less times to read. I already went the other time, you know, the other, I made it already. I don't have to do it again. Shalom. And he goes. And I, was that chutzpah? No. It was a tremendous chutzpah. It was not chutzpah. At that time, when I would tell my son, my good son, be derech eretz to the father, I would kill his aliyah in learning. You understand? No, that was not chutzpah. That was like playing with the back of the mother. You know? It was an intellectual game. And he said, wa 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 karalecha abba. Very nice. Very good. But there are other times you say, a chutzpahdik, when the children, for example, they didn't, my other daughter, she got once in her life a patch in the middle of a shining face. That was the chutzpah that she knew the rules, that you don't come home late. And she came home late with an absolute, without any blink of anything. You know, she came home smiling over the whole face, and she was 2 hours late, and she came like this, and then my wife, pitch, gave a patch, you know. Das kommt nicht in Frage. That's not. So that was a chutzpah, you know. That was a chutzpah breaking the rules. But this one was not a chutzpah. It was an intellectual endeavor. So how you do that, it's a very fine line. But when you label anything which your son goes against you as chutzpah, you could harm the development. Because the development is also depending on a chutzpah. That's what the pasuk there means with the gur aryeh Yehuda. It's a chutzpah to play around, to catch the tail of the mother. That's not the derech eretz, but that's the way he will grow into aryeh. Okay? Yeah, someone wants to come here? Yeah. I want to only to say, this depends where you're holding, what is going on. The explain it to the children, once my explanations are not so good. I dealt with that in two ways, by us at home. My wife has just dealt with that. I one thing and my wife the other one. The one thing is that I am a butlan. I am a butlan. I don't say, I don't want this excitement, I don't want to buy the item. I say, okay, well, I'll buy it. And then I forget about that. And that child says, oh! And then the next day you say, how today you buy it? I say, yeah, I will see whether I have the time because I have a chavrusa. And I made up only that kind of thing that I was delaying that. Because you have to understand, a koyach nefesh wants always and immediate. That's what he wants. Always and immediate. And when you break through that, it's not always and not immediate, you made the big work. Yeah? So when the thing is not always and not immediate, you made the big work. And then in the end, you could have it. But the whole, this hype that I am excited and then I have it immediately, that goes down. And then it's, it's not as much as you think. But as a parent, once in a while, you are terrified from your children and you feel that you have to provide that immediately and always. And then you make that bigger and bigger and bigger. That doesn't go. That's one thing. That was my work. I was the butler at home, and I simply forgot about that, and I had no time, and I forgot the purse, you know, I forgot that. So what shall I do? Tomorrow, next day. It was only that it shouldn't be immediate, the fulfilling the wish. Otherwise, I would destroy the child. The other thing is no explanation. Once in a while, there's no explanation, it's firmness. I give you a getter for little children, but that is only to show what means firm and not explain. A lot of people today in the modern society, they want to explain everything to the children. No, you don't have. You have to be firm. Simply, no. That was with my daughter, the oldest one. She had a son, a Balkishon, 4 years old, and my wife came from the supermarket as a grandmother visiting the grandchildren just after buying things, and she brought these. You have in El Sol, you have these leben, which they have another thing there, which is with cornflakes, and you can pour it in, you know, something like this. So she bought a few of them, with coated chocolate coated cornflakes and 11 next to it, and you can't make like this. So the 4-year-old saw that, and he knows how to do that, he understands that, and he wants to do it. So the mother tells him, no, don't do it, you will not like it, I know you, take it separate, eat the 11 separate, you like that, and eat the chocolate coated thing separate, and when you mix it, you will not eat it. And Lord, you're the facility, you know, he had to do it. So he poured it in, turned it over, took half a spoon, and that's it, left it. And then he saw on the counter, there are another few like this. Yeah? And I went to the counter and said, could I have this one? What do you do now? As a good teaching and explaining mother, you explain to the son, no, it's not fair, grandmother bought for everyone, and we have only count them, there are only 7 over here, or how many there were, and Mimele, it's really for everyone one, and you had yours, and it's not fair, and when you decided to do it, you have to eat it, blah, 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 blah. That's what you do. Yeah? That means you explain. No. My daughter did not explain anything. My daughter took this lemon which she wanted, and he said, that's for mother. Finita la commedia. Yeah. That's for mother. It's firm. You are firm. Without explanation. Firm. Once you align in such things, you simply are firm. There is no explanation. It's not faulty. And there you have to have self-confident. Because it depends on you. Because a lot of parents are terrified by their children, and they feel that when I'm firm, then there will be a disaster. Perhaps the first time will be a disaster, but when they're able to be firm, second time, third time will be no disaster. The children will see firmness is there. You can't be always firm, otherwise you'll be this mitstamik viofilo, you know? I don't want that. But firmness is a very big koyach that you have to use. Okay, those are two things I thought about that question. Yeah?
When Bachrim go away to camp, then his madam. So they spend very little time learning, usually.
Yeah.
Even if they are learning a lot of time, but they're so busy with other things. So how could they maintain their connection to learning that they had all year long and not lose it, but come back to Elul now?
This is a big question about coming back to Elul Zman after such a thing. I have no answer for that. I have only a proposal and no answer. The point... That could be that the boy is so disturbed by that and so thinking about this again that it's not preparing him for the Zman Bichlal. There's a lot of times when a Zman in people say I have to get my steam off, but the steam getting off is in such a other direction than learning that it doesn't foster the learning. It is just making him meshuga, and then by the learning he thinks about what he did ben Azmani. I don't know. Just I don't know how to deal with that. But there is a mile in that. When you speak with your child, when he goes back to learning, you know how old is he, that there's a change of environment. And you have to use that. Yeah? Because that was the camp environment. Now it's a school environment. The different environment does something. It is a difficulty. I don't know how to deal with that. It is a difficulty. But the camp environment is one environment, the school is another one. By us at home, because we didn't have camp, it was slightly boring. And all of my children were longing to go back to school, because it was like, but that's another point of this ongoing excitement. The camp makes that you are excited from the first till the very last day. And even the very last day is a peak, you know. And then you go home. And then I think that what I heard only today, I think you don't go immediately to school. There's a week there. You have to do something with that week. I don't know, to wind that off. But again, when you at that week also are providing excitements to the children, you do the very wrong thing. Boredom, that was by us, boredom by the children made that they should want to go back to school. This I don't know more. I really don't know, yeah?
So let's say older Bachrim, let's say 16-year-olds, 16-year-olds, they're already holding by learning, they have Shaitas already, and they're going with full das, they're going to camp, to do a job, to do whatever, to have a good time, and they're holding by learning. And they're going, they're leaving learning behind to a large extent, to go and be involved in camp, and they want to go into camp with a mahalas to not lose everything.
They want to go into the camp, not lose it. So that needs hadrocha. So this is the whole thing. That depends how you. When they don't want to lose it, you can explain that to them. The point is, when you are learning in camp, okay, this is a whole thing. I don't know whether that's interesting now. But when you're learning in an environment which has other things than learning, but you're learning, you have to make from the learning a very clear and well-defined entirety. In order you be able to think about that also throughout breakfast or throughout another time. When the boy wants to do that, he can do it. You can do that. It has to be, the main point in learning is not that you learn. The main point in learning by in such a thing is that in here should be clear. This 20 minutes of learning, 15 minutes of learning, half an hour of learning, hour of learning, has to have a clarity in the end in the head. Not only, and a lot of time that is blurred. When you are some lev, people who go to the camp, they learned. They did the activity of learning, but the content of learning was blurred. They don't really know at the time even what they are learning. That doesn't keep. But when he is able to say, when you are trying to madrash your son or whatever it is, that you are learning and try to keep that with you in a clear way, even 20 minutes. Clarity of 20 minutes is much better than activity of learning 2 hours. Much better. Because clarity makes the job that afterwards by other things you don't lose it. But without clarity you'll lose it for sure. And that's a good preparation for everything, yeah? But that's a whole mahalach that we would have to sit together how to make that the camp could provide that even. But this is a whole mahalach, okay? I think that's where the... We'll, yeah, you want to say...
Let's say
yeah.
But every time he makes different excuses, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, should you force him to sit down and learn, or did you...
I learned with my sons once in my life over Zubonim. Ain't more. That's it.
Once in your life?
Once in my life. Yeah? Once. And no, my sons didn't want. And there was a different reason for that. They didn't want to learn with me, because when I learned with them, it was a whole Hatzaga, it was Shur Shonogach as a Poro, and there was a Shor at the Poro, there was a Kashi Tresis. And then I have a Chava there, which is a Magichir, and I scream to him, and my son say, Abba, that's not the way Ovi Zuboni works. Ovi Zuboni works like this. That's the way Ovi Zuboni works. Ovi Zuboni, don't work that you are involved in learning with the whole base Medrash. Please, don't come anymore. And I didn't come anymore, it was only once I learned with them. But my sons learn with me when they are 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, 25, 30. They learn with me. Huh? So, the question is, what's better? That your son learns with you when he's 8 or when he's 20? I don't know. But de facto, I learned only once. I don't tell you that Kazeraeva Kadesh, that's what you have to do. But it's not a disaster, according to my opinion, when your son doesn't want to learn with you, you shouldn't drag him. Because you have to enjoy the learning together and enjoy the relationship with the father. It's much more important than the fact of doing the learning. Okay? Yeah, Moshe?
So if my sons are very passionate about playing sports, is it okay for them to also to watch sports? When they can't, they say they can't, it's raining outside or whatever it is.
Watching sports, according to my opinion, has to be dealt with this jumping, that you not always do it. Watching sports is a thing which can consume a person entirely, and you have to make that not always it's available when he wants. Be careful. You have to do that. Because otherwise, I will go into it. And not make, you have to understand what I tell you. That means it doesn't mean that you make a haskem mirosh, that only Monday and Thursday, when there are games, I don't know, only Monday and Thursday you may look at the game, but not throughout the week. That doesn't mean making a jump. It means you look Monday and Thursday, and one Thursday you don't do it. You have to jump what is expected. Not the... What I mean, what is expected, you have to make that nefesh that I want it, I have the right to do it, and I don't do it. You have to teach that to the boy. Otherwise, that's a big problem. It's a big problem otherwise, yeah? You could be swallowed. I think that's more. We can't stay till tomorrow.
As long as the fund does not interfere with the calmness of the home, is there a positive role or maybe even a need for fun inside a Jewish home?
By me personally, the fun at home was very much connected to the interaction between the people, not importing something. Yeah, the interaction with the people. And even when we had imported something, let's say that there was some activity like you have a film or whatever it is. When I work on a computer, so I had children which brought home these things. That was a family event. Yeah, the fun wasn't some important thing. It was the main point was we discussed that together, and he said it was good, that was bad. And my wife is a specialist at that, to discuss stories. I don't have a taste in that. I don't read books or things like this. Not my type. But she does that. The fun was the interaction between the people, not the importing, not the consuming. I think a home which consumes fun, that is a very awkward home. But the interaction is fun, for sure. Yeah? Okay? I think that's it. Nahon, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hopefully that was good for you.